You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Homeowners, businesses, and renters that purchase flood insurance pay an average premium of $739 a year. Under a new federal program, flood insurance rates will be determined by factors considered more fair. The new pricing formula, known as Risk Rating 2.0, could cost the owners of large homes and businesses more money, and in some cases, much more money for flood insurance, and those that own properties that would cost less to replace less money. With a changing climate that could bring more rainfall and water damage, it's not just homeowners on the coast or a floodplain that may need flood insurance. Joining us on today's program is Rich Sabota, insurance specialist with FEMA Region 3, and David Buono, acting Pennsylvania Deputy Insurance Commissioner, Office of Market Regulation. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Rich Sabota, let me start with you. Before we get into the new formula, who needs flood insurance?
Good morning, Scott, and thanks. Just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to reach out to your listeners. To answer your question directly, who needs flood insurance? Just about everyone. There is no such place as a place where it cannot flood. We like to say these days that anywhere it can rain, it can flood. So one of the things that we do, of course, is try to track our penetration rates into various areas. In Pennsylvania, we found even in the highest risk area for flooding, only about 30% of property owners carry flood insurance. So there's a lot of folks out there, unfortunately, who, if they experience a flooding event, will not have any way to help them build back their lives. But even in the non-high-risk areas, floods, again, do happen just about anywhere. And we found that over the history of this program, about third to a fourth of our losses, paid losses, have come from areas that were not considered to be at high risk. And I can tell you for certain that there are a lot of people affected by post remnants of Hurricane Ida that did not have flood insurance. And of course, we're trying to help them in through other means. We have an interim operating facility that's been set out in Harrisburg as kind of our command central. And we've also got 10 or 12 disaster recovery centers that are set up in southeastern Pennsylvania in various locations. And those are the places where people can stop in and get the rundown of the type of assistance we can offer. But probably the most important thing anyone can do is carry flood insurance.
Now, you mentioned Pennsylvania specifically about only 30% have flood insurance. Isn't that percentage pretty much the percentage of people across the country that have flood insurance?
Well, actually, the 30%, and I may have misspoke, is a national average.
Okay.
Pennsylvania, unfortunately, it's a little likely lower. Around 16% of Pennsylvanians who are in the high-risk areas carry flood insurance. Mm.
So, David Buono with the Pennsylvania Insurance Department, in Pennsylvania, we are not on a coast. But we are one of the most flood-prone states in the country. Why don't, and I know I'm getting you to kind of speculate here, but why don't more Pennsylvanians realize that they need or should have flood insurance?
You know, Scott, and thank you for having us on today as well. Commissioner Altman says hi. I can speculate as to why. I think a lot of folks do assume we don't have a coast. We're not going to flood. And in any insurance, you also hear a lot of things in regards to it won't happen to me. And folks just don't realize that it can happen to them. And unfortunately, with all of the rivers and the water systems we have and the amount of flooding that we do have in PA, it's unfortunately one of those things where it may not be an if, it may be a when. But I think, I think a lot of the time it won't happen to me. Mm. I think sometimes people assume that their homeowner's insurance will cover flood insurance, cover flooding, and it won't. It's an additional coverage. There are times that we've heard folks say that they've heard that they're from their agent that they can't buy flood insurance. You can buy flood insurance no matter where you live in Pennsylvania. You know, so I think it's really multiple factors that lead to folks not choosing to purchase. And the final is if they don't have to purchase it, sometimes they don't purchase it. You know, I hear horror stories about folks as soon as they pay off their home, dropping homeowners insurance because it's no longer mandatory. The risk didn't go away. You know, there's still a chance for a fire or something that occurs at your house, but folks make those decisions not associating risk. Most of the time, I think they're thinking about cost and what they don't want to spend. I hope I answered the question.
Well, I think you did, but if I could speculate a little bit too, I have a sense that what you touched on, that if people have a home or a business where they rent a home or an apartment that is not close to a water source, a river, a stream, or obviously not on the coast in Pennsylvania, that they think that their risk of flood is low. But I think that goes to our next question. When people are picturing this a flood, they're probably thinking about those floodwaters that are outside the front door where there are cars covered. But a flood is even water in your basement, right?
Well, and Rich, you might want to chime in a little bit more as in regards to the definition of a flood, but a flood actually is defined in a policy as two or more residents impacted, and I believe it's or 2 acres of water. Is that correct, Rich?
Yeah, it's actually a rapid and unusual accumulation or runoff of surface waters from any source. And one of the major sources that risk rating 2.0 is now going to be taking into consideration actually is rainfall patterns. A lot of people listening, I'm sure, will remember the event that happened back in Houston in 2016, 2017, I think. There was just an incredible amount of rainfall that fell in a very short period of time. A lot of people suffered a lot of damage, and unfortunately, not too many of them had flood insurance because those areas were not considered to be high risk from flooding. But due to changing weather patterns, we know anywhere it rains that much in that short a period of time, it's going to flood.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into 2.0 in just a moment, but again, just want to provide some context for our audience. What does flood insurance cover? Rich, what does it cover?
Sure. If you think of your standard homeowner's policy, we offer building coverages, which are pretty similar to the homeowner's policy, except, of course, for a different peril. We also offer personal property or contents coverages. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't purchase flood insurance. It's a sad fact that most of the policies that we sell are sold not because people are purchasing voluntarily, it's because there are certain mandatory conditions of flood purchase that exist under federal law and have for a long time, but that only applies to the building coverages. So people, when they have the option of covering their personal property or contents, more often than not, choose not to.
What doesn't it cover?
What doesn't it cover? The classic example probably is in a basement. In a basement, we do have some coverage limitations, and what we do cover typically is probably the most important part of the building, which is foundation. Foundation damage can easily occur when there's flood waters in a basement. And we also cover all the utility elements that are found down there. If you have contents coverage, you'll get coverage for your clothes washer and your dryer and a freezer if you have it down there. But most of the finish elements down in a basement are excluded from coverage. We're working on ways to offer that coverage at this point. But essentially, if you take a basement, And to turn it upside down, the things that remain in place will be covered. The things that don't remain in place probably won't be. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a phone call from Faith in Lancaster Township. Faith, you're on Smart Talk.
Good morning. Thank you. My comment is this. I used to have flood insurance. Sorry. I dropped it because of the cost and the very low probability of flooding. And your guests need to be aware that there's also, from my understanding, additional insurances that could be important for people in our area, like such as sinkhole insurance, which homeowners normally doesn't cover, and I believe some pump overflow insurance. So I'd like their comments. You know, how much do you start to pay for insurance? That's the problem.
Well, Faith,
thank you for taking my comment.
Well, Faith, before you leave, can I ask if you would like to tell me, maybe you'll say none of my business, but what were you paying for flood insurance?
It was several hundred dollars, and it was some time ago, and I called the township office, probably, somewhere 400 some, but it was quite a while ago, and I called the township office. There's never been a flood in this area. There are no water outlets, you know, but it just, how much insurance do you need? And you keep paying and paying and paying.
Mm-hmm. Faith, thank you very much for your call. David, I saw you nodding in agreement when Faith was talking about sinkhole insurance and also sump pump overflow insurance. And both are related to water in the basement, obviously.
And Faith brought up a really great point, you know, in regards to how much insurance do you need? And I think that is where you work with a local agent to talk through the different risks that are in the area, you know, in the Lancaster area and in our area here in central Pennsylvania, there are a lot of sinkholes. And that is something that you can always talk to your agent about, you know, determining whether or not that is a coverage that you want to purchase. There's also earthquake insurance and the sewage and backup insurance. And those are things that I would absolutely talk to the agent about to understand what they are, how they work, and make sure that you purchase the coverages that you feel that you need. Mm. The big challenge when it comes to flood insurance is when a flood does occur, it does catastrophic damage usually. And a lot of folks think that, hey, the federal government will come in and just take care of it. But that's not necessarily the case because you need a disaster declaration called. And then even the funds that are available are not necessarily enough to rebuild your home. But once again, getting back to Faith's great question, it's understanding your risk and determining which coverages you feel that you need. And I would absolutely talk to one of the great local agents in our area.
So, Rich, let me ask you this question. What is risk rating 2.0? What's changing?
Okay. And Faith, I want to thank you for that question. If I can just touch back to that for a moment, sounds to me like she has not revisited her cost of flood insurance coverage recently. One of the things that Risk Rating 2.0 allows us to do is offer a premium quotation for anyone who wants it. And it's a pretty quick and simple process there. So I would encourage Faith and any of the other listeners to, if they haven't already done so, check with their insurance agents. Most insurance agents and companies in Pennsylvania do write flood insurance on behalf of the National Flood Insurance Program. And now with Risk Rating 2.0 technology, they can offer a premium quote and take some of the uncertainty actually out of the cost of flood insurance. Long story short, for Risk Rating 2.0, it's taking the place of a system that we've used since, I think, the 1970s. And while that's been serviceable to us, it's had its drawbacks, it's had its limitations, and we are really moving forward into the future. We are taking advantage of new technology. We're taking advantage of many more data sources that are now available to us. And we're using a lot more insurance variables to properly rate a property. And when I say a property, I mean its individual structure. One of the big changes from our current rating to our new rating system, our current rating system is a class-based rating system. So people who own property, let's say within a certain zone on our maps, are put into a class for rating purposes. And while that class rating is relatively accurate, it's certainly not accurate for the individuals that are within that class. So Risk Rating 2.0 allows us now to rate each structure individually, and people will know exactly what the cost of flood insurance would be for their individual structure. And one of the things that that cost does is lets them know, according to our evaluation, how high the risk for flood damage may be in their area.
So, you know, this has been advertised as being more fair than the formula that has been used up until now. By the way, this went into effect October 1st. So how is it more fair? You talked about it can, you know, rate individual properties, but when it comes to prices and premiums paid, how is it more fair?
Okay. And again, the individual rating is going to look at each individual structure, of course, and I think it's a little fairer than a class rating system. Another major change under Risk Rating 2.0, we are now incorporating replacement cost value into our rating variables. Replacement cost value, most people are probably familiar with, is how much would it cost to repair or replace a structure. And that replacement cost value was not figured into our rating system so far. So didn't matter what your replacement cost value was, if you were carrying the same amount of coverage as your next door neighbor that had, let's say, a smaller, lower replacement cost value structure, you would be paying the exact same premium per $100 of coverage that they would, when in fact, we know that if a loss occurs, you're probably going to get a much more expensive loss and a much larger payout for that loss. So we're charging actually a higher premium based on higher replacement cost value.
So there will be some property owners who will be paying more and some who actually will be paying less for flood insurance. Generally, and I think people can figure this out on their own, but I'll ask the question anyway, who's going to be paying more and who's going to be paying less?
Okay. And you're absolutely correct. Some rates under our new system will go up, some will go down. It's important to say that under our current rating system, no one ever received a premium decrease. Under class rating, the premiums were adjusted a certain percentage upward per year. Under the Risk Rating 2.0, however, we can take a look at individual structures. And as we've done, and I'll give you details in just a moment, as we've done that, we've found that under our existing policyholders, in some cases, we are charging people more premium they should be paying. In other cases, we are charging them a lower premium than they should be paying. So one of the things that Risk Rating 2.0 will do is make our rating system fairer based on individual structures versus the class system that we've used in the past. Going into the introduction of this program, we did an analysis based on the new rating system and our current policyholders. One of the things that we found in Pennsylvania, about 30% of our current policyholders will see a decrease in their premium. And that lets you know, in fact, that we have been overcharging in some cases. 30% will see a decrease. About another 56% of policyholders in Pennsylvania will stay roughly the same, maybe a modest increase. So that takes care of the majority of policyholders in Pennsylvania. The 14% that are remaining will see a larger increase, but I just want to point out that that's not going to happen overnight. Premiums, when they do increase, will be increased gradually from year to year.
Generally across the country, isn't it accurate to say that most of those properties that we'll see an increase, and in some cases a big increase, are on coastal areas?
Yeah, and many people think that, and it's interesting to find out that in coastal areas, in the largest risk coastal areas under the National Flood Insurance Program, less than 1% of our policy base are found in those areas. It's much easier to see the flood risk in coastal areas versus the inland areas such as Pennsylvania. Shocked to find out sometimes that the amount of flood damage that can occur there. And so the premiums based upon the individual structure, based upon its location, based upon a number of factors, distance to a water source, et cetera, all those will be figured into the individual rating structure. And again, yes, in some cases, in a lot of cases, people will see a reduction in premium. In some cases, they'll stay the same. In some cases, there will be an increase in premium. But most of that's happening in the inland areas.
Okay, I just want to make sure, when you say, you said less than 1%, people would be surprised. Less than 1% on coastal areas, what?
Less than 1% of our policy base is located in the highest risk areas for flooding.
So in other words, the people who probably are most prone to flooding are the ones that are least likely to have flood insurance.
That's true in the inland areas, not so much in the coastal areas. That's kind of a mixed bag. There's an awful lot of coastal areas where people don't, they have a second home, they don't have to take a mortgage out on it, and most people who don't take a mortgage don't purchase flood insurance either. Some of the coastal areas of Florida, for example, again, it's kind of a mixed bag. Depending upon the area and the neighborhood, a large percentage of people do carry flood insurance, but some don't.
So, David Buono, let me ask a little bit about Pennsylvania. With, I don't know if I could say most, but many insurance products in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Insurance Department sets the rates. But this is one with flood insurance that the Pennsylvania Insurance Department doesn't set the rates. Does the insurance department have any kind of input into what someone would pay for flood insurance?
The National Flood Insurance Program is a federal program. So in regards to input in regards to that, that would be at that federal level. Of course, if I ever need anything, I have no problem calling Region FEMA 3. But when it comes to rates or how those rates are determined, the insurance department does not necessarily have the authority to make any adjustments to those rates.
All right. So, but I just want to make sure that people understand this. But if someone wants to purchase flood insurance, do they go to an insurance agent, a private insurance salesperson?
That's a really great question, because you can purchase the National Flood Insurance Program a couple of different ways. You can contact a local agent that's part of the Write Your Own policies with the NFIP. Those folks are licensed with us. So if you're a licensed producer in the Commonwealth, you need to be licensed to sell those policies. You can also purchase the NFIP directly from the NFIP. Is that correct, Rich? I just want to make sure I'm saying that properly.
Yes, it's correct, as long as it's through a licensed insurance agent. And I want to just take a moment to say that Dave and the Pennsylvania Insurance Department have been excellent partners to us over the years. Commissioner Altman has really stressed the importance of carrying insurance and has gone so far as to do a significant amount of research on the non-NFIP sources of flood insurance that are available in Pennsylvania. And a good part of their website is devoted to people having a choice in terms of where they can purchase flood insurance.
So, Dave, if someone would go to a private insurance company or salesperson, I'm assuming that they don't have to shop around because everyone is offering the same rates, right?
If they're purchasing from the National Flood Insurance Program, if they would go to multiple Write Your Own agents, I would assume that they would be getting the same policy as well as the same premium. If they were to purchase from the private flood insurance market, they may find that they have a different premium. And that's because the private market is separate from the National Flood Insurance Program.
Okay.
So you know, and on our website, Rich was kind enough to mention the work that we've done at insurance.pa.gov. We have an entire page that's dedicated to flood insurance that talks about the NFIP as well as private and the differences between the two.
We have a question here from Pamela. Says, will the new FII include replacement value? And I think you've touched on this. I've had flood insurance, had two losses. The last loss was significant, and I had to borrow $10,000 because everything, including my furnace, was depreciated, and I got little, about $3,000. After that, I dropped flood insurance because the cost outweighed the benefits. Now, you know, Rich, you touched on this, but in the situation that Pam describes, she talked about the furnace depreciating. Would under this new rating, risk rating 2.0, would everything have been covered?
Yeah, and again, thank you for that question. Covered, our policy coverages are the same under our new rating system. I'm kind of surprised to hear that the percentage of depreciation that may have been applied to that furnace. Remember that depreciation is all about the starting value of a piece of equipment less the wear and tear that's happened on it. In some cases, if you had a furnace that was near the end of its useful life, it wasn't really worth what the original purchase price was. And so we do apply a certain factor of depreciation. But long story short, with our new quoting capabilities, if you've not revisited your insurance cost before, you probably want to take a look at that. It's an easy one-step process.
But in answer to her question, it should be covered, right? Depreciation shouldn't matter.
Yeah. And any part of the structure should be covered, other than the basement situation that I mentioned before. And in most cases, appreciation is not that large a factor. We try to work with every one of our policyholders to give them a settlement offer that's fair and appropriate. And I think we've been pretty successful over time.
All right, so here's one of the big questions about this, Rich, is where's climate change factor into this?
And thank you for that question. Yes, under our new rating system, we take into account such things as coastal erosion. We take into account a much larger range of flood events that may occur in any given area. And we certainly have taken note of the extreme rainfall events that have happened in Houston and elsewhere. So a lot of that is factored into the new rating variables that we're using.
Is it adaptable if we continue to see changing weather patterns that we're getting more rain, we're getting, warmer temperatures on average here in Pennsylvania. 10 years ahead, if we're getting much more rain, is this adaptable or will it have to be revisited?
And thank you again for that question. Insurance is a good stopgap if you do experience a flooding event, but the most appropriate way to address flooding actually is through mitigation activities so that the future will look better for you, reduce the amount of flooding that may affect your property and also affect the severity of the structure. Even something as simple as elevating the machinery and equipment that services your building, the type of nuisance flooding that may affect your furnace, your water heater, et cetera, et cetera. If you can elevate those types of equipment, even with nuisance flooding, you will see little, if any, damage to that equipment, and it's a heck of a lot easier. I'm going to tell you, to clean up after a flood once you've got heat, air conditioning, et cetera, et cetera.
Question from Elizabeth asks, would your guest comment on flood insurance that is subsidized by the government, taxpayers, for areas where where there are floods often and folks insist on living there? Rich, what about this? I mean, I guess the point that Elizabeth's making is that maybe there's not an apples-to-apples comparison, or as far as what a property is worth if it is in a flood-prone area.
Well, the first thing to remember about subsidies is they were actually a part of this program from the very beginning and continue to be. The program recognizes that people built their homes before there was such consideration and awareness of flooding and flood insurance. And in those cases, property owners would receive subsidies. And that's gone on through time. We'll continue through risk rating 2.0. But what we try to do is really work with individual communities in terms of assessing their own flood risk and doing something to eliminate or reduce flood insurance or flooding events that may occur in the future. And really, the cornerstone of the National Flood Insurance Program is our relationship with individual communities and property owners.
Let's go back to that scenario of climate change and how coastal areas may be impacted. If many of the forecasts for how coastal areas will be affected come to fruition, you could have some properties just washing out into the ocean. Would something like that be subsidized?
Unfortunately, that magnitude of event has occurred in the past and will continue to do so in the future. What Risk Rating 2.0 does is takes a realistic look at what the variables are affecting any individual structure. And one of the things that we do is give people what we call their full risk rate. In other words, the type of premium that they really should be paying based upon their exposure and the individual rating variables that go along with it. So needless to say, coastal areas, especially the extremely flood-prone coastal areas, under Risk Rating 2.0, we're going to assess them as higher than we might in properties that are located elsewhere.
Hmm. Rich Sabota is an insurance specialist with FEMA Region 3. David Buono, Acting Pennsylvania Deputy Insurance Commissioner, Office of Market Regulation. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Again, Scott, thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for having us.